confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Well then, here we are. It's the last week of July, and school's out. I thought I heard one or two teachers cheering, if nothing else. Tell me, what have you learnt this academic year? Anybody learnt anything of interest? Shaking of heads. Well, I was hoping we might get some response. Has somebody learned some nuclear physics? Or advanced harp techniques? Or how to build an igloo? But what have you learned from Proverbs? We've been looking at Proverbs in a sermon series for a few weeks. Anybody learnt anything? There's a wordle of Proverbs to give a clue of the terms that keep coming up over and over again in this book. Has anybody been struck by anything? Anybody want to share anything that they've found through our studies in Proverbs that's really made sense? There is a lot of common sense in Proverbs, a lot of godly common sense. There is, certainly. We come today to Proverbs 31, another wordle. Those are the words that keep coming up in this chapter. But for some of you, school's out forever. So another question, yes, there is an ex-teacher cheering at the back. So the question for you is your CV up to date? Here's one I prepared earlier. A conscientious, thorough, highly organized, well-respected professional with 30-plus years IT experience has extensive familiarity with IBM System Z and other mainframes, Unisys, Dorado and Libra, and Teradata. Regularly handles large workloads combining deep technical knowledge with platform-level breadth of vision. Collaborates successfully with technical and non-technical colleagues and suppliers, using proven written and oral communication skills to produce solutions appropriate to business requirements and the available technology. I should say that's never yet got me a new job. But today we conclude our series of sermons on Proverbs. Our reading, as you will have noticed, is from the final chapter of the book. And it's almost like a CV for a faithful believer, showing what their life is like. Showing what character and obedience look like in action, in daily living. And yet, of course, Proverbs 31, the part that we read, isn't a CV. It's a poem. It's actually in the Hebrew, so the notes tell me, an acrostic poem. The verses begin with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So today we're going to have an acrostic sermon. Don't worry, I've not got 26 points. But I want to try and draw out some of the themes from this passage and some of them how they're reflected in other parts of Proverbs as well, to find what is said about this lady who in the NIV is described as a wife of noble character. So first of all, let's look at the accolades that this lady receives. And this is almost like bookends for the whole passage, verses 10 to 12 and 28 to 31. Verse 10 says, she's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then again at the end of the chapter, you remember how her children and her husband praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her bring her praise at the city gate. She's recognized for her qualities and her character, and we'll see how these are shown throughout her life. But notice first of all how these accolades come from those who are closest to her. Sometimes those who are closest to us can be the least charitable. They see, they have to live with those character flaws that really rankle. And yet here, it's her husband and her children who are offering praise because they value her. Now, conversely, sometimes it's those closest who may be the least objective. Think of the newly besotted partner. Oh, he's wonderful. You know the saying, he's blind. Or think of the small child who's uncritical because they haven't yet learnt that mum actually can do something wrong sometimes. But not so here. This husband's praise is based on long experience. She does him good, she supports him, and he is glad. And he can take his place because of how she lives her life. But this is public praise too. Praise at the city gate, it finishes. Remember that that was where the marketplace met the law court. That was the heart of community life. And so this lady is not just living a hidden, private life. And so next, we need to consider her business record. She is a successful career woman. Verses 14, 16, 18 and 24. We'll take them in reverse order. Verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's the one making and selling these things. And this looks like it's a pattern of regular supply. It's not just that she makes something and does the occasional cart boot sale or whatever it was in those days. Verse 18 shows her commitment to her labours. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Running any business involves risk and hard work. And that verse addresses both. She's prepared to put the hours in, and we'll see more of that later. And she is careful about her strategic goals and how to achieve them. She sees that her trading is profitable. And verse 16 demonstrates how well she's done it. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's able to plan, to assess, to invest, to expand, all from her own business work, her own earnings. And verse 14 hints at the same, talking about she's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. A breadth of and vision, and she's exploring new markets and materials to use. And so we turn to her creativity. We've already noted how she produces and sells the linen garments. And this is skilled work. Verse 19, in her right hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. I wouldn't have a clue with that, would you? Well, maybe you would. But here's a lady who knows how to handle the tools of her trade. She can cope with the machinery that she uses. She can handle it adeptly. That level of expertise may begin with some innate ability, some dexterity, some intellect, whatever. People have different gifts. But it also takes time and care and dedication, because the skills that we have need to be honed and developed and broadened. And this lady is no unskilled labourer. Who chooses the raw materials for her work? Verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. So she's not simply there involved in the production, in making things, and in the post-production, selling them on to the merchants. She's there at the beginning as well, selecting the materials. Creativity has many forms. It can be artistic, imaginative, cultural, entrepreneurial, academic, practical, so many different aspects. But each form reflects the fact that God is creator, and each of them can express that we are made in God's image and therefore able to be creative, imaginative. And next then, D. D is for her diligence. Now, Proverbs has got plenty to say about diligence. Chapter 6 gives us a role model for diligence. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. If you wanted a role model, there's one that's a little humbling, isn't it? You should be more like an ant. In chapter 12 of the same book, there is a stark warning. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labour. And then in chapter 26, there's a comical example. Verses 14 and 15. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. You can just picture him, can't you? Backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. Not actually going anywhere. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. Oh, that looks tasty. Oh, I can't be bothered. But then chapter 31 gives us a concrete explanation of what all this means. Verse 13 talks about eager hands. Verse 17, works vigorously, strong arms. Verse 15, she's up early in the morning. Verse 18, she's still busy late into the evening. And perhaps many of you who are mothers can identify with that especially. Verse 27 sums it up. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And there's a hint at her motivation as well in verse 15. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She's looking after the people around her. And creativity and diligence meet together in what she's doing. A verse from a hymn, written, as it happens, by a lady, Shirley Irena Murray from New Zealand. Take whatever I can offer, gifts that I have yet to find, skills that I am slow to sharpen, talents of the hand and mind, things made beautiful for others in the place where I must be. Take my gifts and let me love you, God who first of all loved me. Creativity and diligence meeting together. But before we get the impression of somebody who's completely worn down by life, let's notice this lady's elegance. We've already seen verse 14 with its mention of the merchant ships, a sense of somebody who's a little bit different and perhaps got some exotic interests and tastes. Verses 21 and 22 then. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Scarlet and purple cloth and fine linen, these were the quality materials. These were not cheap, shoddy goods. This lady wants to look and be her best as she pursues her goals in life. And she also wants the same for those around her, for whom she has responsibility and care. And I think quality is one of her watchwords. And dare we surmise that this is why her business has been successful? Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Perhaps no accident there that strength and dignity are linked with the image of clothing. And I certainly get an image of this lady as confident in her abilities and firm and fair in her dealings. She knows she can make her mark and nobody's going to put her down. So then we've looked at her accolades, her business record, her creativity, her diligence, her elegance. F is for her femininity. Proverbs offers us three main pictures, female pictures. One is the dangerous woman, chapters 5, 6 and 7, the seductress who's leading foolish men to their destruction. A second very different lady comes in chapters 8 and 9, Sophia, wisdom personified. Listen to these verses from chapter 8, from the start and end of the chapter. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Two pictures, two female pictures, the dangerous woman, wisdom personified, and then in chapter 31, the excellent wife, showing how wisdom in character and action looks in practice. And isn't it significant that when Proverbs finishes with an example of holiness, character in action, it's a lady that's chosen as the specific example in mind. The church down the centuries hasn't had a great record in affirming women. Too often, church has colluded in the attitudes of male supremacy that are rife in society. Sometimes, it's been dressed up in a theology that says, oh, back in the Garden of Eden, it was Eve that was responsible for sin. But remember that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, that it's in Adam that all die. Many of the sayings in Proverbs are specifically addressed to men or sons. Maybe that's generic. There was a little bit of that in chapter 8, in the verse we just read. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. So the balance, it's the individuals and it's the whole race. Or maybe it's that God knows that we men need more teaching to drill wisdom into our stubborn heads and hearts. But isn't it time to redress the balance and celebrate the women that God made and let them take their places? Remember how Jesus affirmed the women among his disciples in a way that was far beyond what any contemporary rabbi did. Remember how Mary was welcome to sit at his feet and receive his teaching just like any of the male disciples, when her sister Martha still thought that both of them should take their place in the kitchen. And when Jewish law didn't accept female testimony as valid and binding in court, remember how Jesus honored Mary Magdalene and her companions as the first witnesses of his resurrection. But this lady in Proverbs is no hard-nosed, self-centered, ambitious climber, eager to push the men out of the way and get to the top. No. Did you spot her deep-seated generosity? There's the G on our list. We've already seen how she cares for those around her. She made sure that her family had the best they could, had all they needed. And her business record shows that she's a woman of means. She's got servants, she's got employees. Verse 15 shows that she cares for them. She's a responsible employer. But listen also to verse 20 again. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Here's a busy lady. She's busy with her own business plans as well as diligently caring for her family. But she's got a social conscience as well. And she notices the people on the edge of society, those in need of help, those short of hope, and offers them her care. I think the implication is that it's both practical support from her own wealth and some level of emotional engagement as well. I wonder, was she involved in the local soup kitchen? Did she do some hospital visiting when she found the time? Remember how she was looking at a field to buy it? I suspect that when the harvest came, she would be the sort of landowner who would welcome gleaners, the poor people, who had to go round and pick up the scraps for their living. You could read more about them in the book of Ruth. But I think she'd have welcomed them. And there's a reason for this, of course. As for all that she does, H is for holiness. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, verse 30. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This isn't a showy, shallow, pseudo-holiness that's got no genuine value. No, this is practical, honest holiness rooted in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Remember, that is a key concept right through Proverbs. It occurs over 20 times. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10, 14, 3 times, 15, twice, 16, 19, 22, 23, 24, 28, 29, and here in chapter 31, the fear of the Lord is mentioned. And just to pick a few of those, chapter 8, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. From chapter 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And from both chapter 1 and chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the baseline. It's the benchmark. It's the key to life. Her holiness may not be showy, but neither is it hidden. Verse 13 drew a contrast with transitory earthly glamour, and it reminds me of Peter's words to Christian wives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And in verse 31 of Proverbs 31, those things merit recognition both public and private. But inward holiness is not an end in itself. It must be expressed in outward holiness. So what of this lady's influence on those around her? We've already seen a lot of that. The benefit that she brings to her husband. But she does not live solely for his benefit. She doesn't work solely for his support. She shows plenty of independence, including financial. Their marriage looks to be a partnership where each enhances and affirms the other's life. And we saw in verse 21, as elsewhere, her care for her wider household, how she ensures that they're well fed and properly clothed. We've seen her as a conscientious employer and as a compassionate neighbour. And then in verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. The fear of the Lord permeates her speech, and she's able to teach others faithfully and accurately how best they should live. Remember again the lady wisdom, Sophia, in chapter 8? A few more verses from that chapter. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. So what have we seen from this excellent example of character in action? Just a few summary points to stay there. The accolades she receives, her business record, her creativity, diligence, elegance, femininity, generosity, holiness, influence. Holiness doesn't need to be hidden and negative. It's not just about what we don't do. The lady at the end of Proverbs gives us a dynamic picture of holy wisdom in daily life, practical, social, financial, creative. I wonder what her CV would look like. She is a widely respected entrepreneur and company owner with a reputation as a good employer, having developed and managed a successful business, frequently diversifying into new areas of profitability. Her creative thinking, practical skill, and financial acumen are consistently shown in diligence and determination across many activities. She is involved in charity work and community action. As a competent and confident leader, she is able to serve other organizations in a consultancy role and is often sought as a mentor. And you might read that and think, wow, she's a believer, and that's holiness lived out. So what does your CV look like? Is it up to date? Has it got everything on it that it should have? Has your life got everything in it that it should have and could have?